But good morning, everybody. Good morning, everybody online. It's great to have you guys here with us today. Oh, man, God is good. We've been hearing some awesome word. And I know we say that a lot, but don't we need to hear the word of God? Doesn't salvation come because of the hearing of the word of God? So we're very much so blessed by that. We had a great time this weekend for my wife's birthday with the girls. And I will say this for right now, that was one of the best birthdays I've ever spent with her in almost 30 years. It's already been 29. So that was awesome, beautiful. You know, man, appreciate one another while you have the time, while you have the people around. Appreciate your loved ones, appreciate your friends. And this life is a blessing. This life is a blessing. So, man, Seth said a lot of good things in the opening. He talked about John 14, which is one of my favorite scriptures ever. One of my favorite scriptures ever. And in John 14, it talks about, we'll read it so I don't skip over anything. 14, starting at verse 1. And he says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." So if you have any trouble going on in your life, where it's bringing you any issues, any consternation, any problems, Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled." And I know sometimes we think, well, that's easier said than done. You don't know what I'm going through. And I tell you what, he does. He does. And how does he know what you're going through? Because he's with you. The Bible says, Jesus said, "I will never leave you and I will never forsake you." So no matter where you are in this world, in your mind, in your heart, he's there right there with you. He has never left us and he's never forsaken us. And sometimes we take our eyes off of God and it makes us feel alone, like we're by ourselves. But when we remember words like this, like Jesus said, to let not your heart be troubled, and you remember that, you know that you're not alone, that you'll never be alone. He'll never forsake you. So he's there. We just have to remember and believe the words that's been given to us. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." For you. Like PK says, man, the God of the universe thinks about me, little old me. And that's a fact. Yes, he does. And in him is a place for you, that where he is, that you may be also. You may be also. And I think that is so important for us to know within our heart. No matter the people around us, if they're there or they're not, God is with you always and you're with him. And that is, I just think that is something that needs to be anchored and believed in our heart and remembered, because we go through a lot of things in this life. A lot of things in this life. And then we're taught about the inward, the world that's in the heart. And there's a lot of things going on there. And so sometimes it could be, initially it could be kind of overwhelming, like, hey, well, you know, I'm dealing with family and bills and this and that. And then my own thoughts are betraying me, is not allowing me to focus and concentrate on Jesus. And I tell you what, man, he is the eye of the storm. Where everything is going crazy around you, in Jesus is the eye. That is the in the center is where we find our peace. Where everything is just tearing us a new one. When we go to the word that was given to us, when we go to the testimonies that we spoke, and we remember those things, it will bring us into a peace that you can't bring for yourself. And I know that, you know, we go through a lot, and I was the king of taking care of it myself. I'll handle it. And I tell you what, I will mess it up. And God is so faithful that when we're going through our worst trial or tribulation in this life, his word will come to us. And we remember about Jesus. We remember that word that he spoke to us. We'll remember what gave us the peace. And it'll take us right out of all of the tribulation that we're in and just calm our mind and our thoughts. You guys ever experienced that? Well, everything is just going crazy around you and you remember God. I love it because it is changing our nature, if you will. Seth was saying about the word of God changing our hearts, and it 100% is. And because it's changing our heart, it is changing our nature. At a time we would try to take care of it before, now we're leaning on the Lord, and we're going to God in prayer. Any of you guys experienced that? Instead of just going crazy, you just start praying to God. And I think that is so cool because that calms you down, brings your blood pressure down, and it allows you to think with a clear head and a clear mind. It'll bring sobriety to you, to your heart, to where all of the thoughts just running amok in you and wouldn't let you have peace. And that word, just seeking God in that moment, will bless us so much that it calms us down and we can be able to do whatever is needed to be done. I think that is cool, man. I don't know about you. So, yeah, that was perfect, Seth, to not let your heart be troubled. So, and Jesus is the peace that we've always desired. A few months ago, Claudette was talking about peace. And I can remember a time where I could find no peace. I don't know about you guys out there, but I could find no peace. And I tried to do things here to fill that void that's in the heart and the mind. And you think it, maybe if I buy a new this, or maybe if I go here, maybe if I go there, and nothing would ever fill that void. Nothing ever brought peace except the word of God. You know why? Because everything that we do here in this life is just temporary. We're trying to solve spiritual problems within us with temporary things outside of us. But the peace of Jesus is eternal. That's part of his name, is peace. So when we're seeking him, and we're seeking that true peace, man, we don't want to have anything to do with the world, per se. We want the real. We want not a temporary solution, but we want a permanent solution. We don't come to church and we don't go to talk to the elders and seek counsel because we want something temporary. Temporary is for other people. We want something permanent, to where God plugs that hole in the heart with his love, that it's going to be there forever. It's not going to wear off just because it made us feel good in the moment, but it's going to last forever. And we know within ourselves, because he did this for me, at this time, when something else arises, he's going to do it again. And we believe in him because we're being exercised by what he has already done for us. So we're not looking afar off and going, man, God's going to do this, God's going to do that, God's going to do this, God's going to do that. No, we see and we know within ourselves that he has already done. We have to look at what he's already done. In our mindset as humans, sometimes we treat God the way we would treat other people. Like, what have you done for me lately? You know what I mean? Like, yeah, you did this for me last year, but you ain't do nothing this year. And that's not the way we need to see an eternal spirit that's working with our eternities. You know what I mean? We need to say, God healed me, and begin and continue to give that testimony of what God has done in you, and to never forsake it. Don't never forget it, because when we forget what he's done for us, then we'll go to sleep in it and we'll treat it just like anything else. Oh, God healed me 2 years ago. That was 2 years ago, you know, and we'll miss out on everything he's done in that healing up till this day, because we're looking at, oh, that was back then, and we're missing him because we think that he's going to come another way. And he's right there with us, right there with us. So how important is it to continue to give that testimony that's changed your life? Change your life. And what I mean by changing your life, it's not something that physically, we try to do a lot of things. You know, I want to quit this, stop this. But when God changes our nature and he changes our mindset, it changes us wholly. So we no longer look and do those things we did in the past. We don't even have a desire for it, really, because God has changed our path. He's changed the course. He's put us on a completely different course that we don't look at the past no more. We look at what's in front of us. And what's in front of us is Jesus Christ. It is the Word, because the doctrine that's being established in us because of what he's did and what we're now walking in is the thing that is completely healing us, is that doctrine, that Hebrews 6. So it talks about repenting from dead works. When we're no longer trying to perfect ourselves with our own works, when we're no longer seeking the Lord out of a carnal mind, when we can let everything go that we thought was God, all of the repetitive prayers, and let all of that stuff go and just believe God because of the word that he gave you that began to change you. And the walk in that repenting from dead works will take us right to having faith toward God. We believe that word that he spoke to us so much that now my faith is toward him and what he's doing in me, not according to what I can do. And it takes us into the baptism of Jesus Christ and all of those things are laying on our hands. But my point is, he takes us from the left and causes us to go right, taking us to a completely different direction, where the nature of the man is sin that we used to work in, we no longer walk in that. And we can't let ourselves beat ourselves up over it, because we think, well, because, you know, I'm turned and I'm in repenting from dead works and all of these things, but I have all of these other thoughts working in me. Those things will be there, believe it or not, because we're children. And I think it's funny, because if the Lord does bless us and we're walking in repentance from dead works and faith toward God and all of those things, if everything was all done, we stop seeking God. We stop seeking God. We're like, why would I go back? He's already done these things, so I'm going to just go on my way. So to know that because he's performed this miracle in me, then I continually am going to need him. I'm going to continually need God. So I have to stay the course. I have to stay where he has me, or I'm going to miss out on what he's doing. So I can never think, oh, I understand it in its totality. We'll miss out on it. And I remember thinking like that before and thinking, oh, PK's talking about peace. I already understand it. He taught on that 2 months ago. Why is he going back to it? We already know it. No, we don't. The beauty of teachings and prophecy repeating itself is because we have to grow up. So maybe we heard the initial word. Maybe that was just a sowing. Maybe some rain has to come to it, huh? Maybe a little bit of doctrine needs to come to it. Maybe some sun needs to come to that word, some righteousness, and begin to raise that thing up. It's not really a maybe. That's exactly what's needed. That's why we continue to come to church, because it's Jesus that's raising us up in him. And I think that is powerful right there. So in Isaiah 9 and 6, it says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Like I was saying earlier, it's in his name. It's in his name. So if we want peace, who do we have to go to? We have to go to Jesus. We have to go to the one that has the peace. And before, we try to do it ourselves. And I tell you what, man, that just brings so much heck upon us when we try to handle things ourselves instead of going to the one that actually has it. It's a pretty powerful place to come to. Because you know what that takes within us? Because we could be so strong-willed sometimes. But that brings us to a place of humility and humbleness, doesn't it? To know, like, I have to do it. I have to seek the Lord. I have to call this elder. I have to go to church because I don't have it. I'm trying to get something that I don't have. I need to go where they do have it and get it from the ones that do have it. So that peace is not a worldly peace. It's not something that can be gained by anything outside of God. And when we do it, we don't realize, you know, what's working at that time. You know, is it possible that a thief could be working in us when we're trying to get peace not going by Jesus Christ, when we're trying to go up another way? Could be, huh? So in John chapter 16, verse 33, he says, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me," that's in Jesus, "you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." In the world, we will have tribulation. That's what Jesus said. He didn't say that everything's going to be fine and hunky-dory because you came to church today and paid your tithe. But I can remember thinking that way. I remember one day, I was coming from church, I think, and I got a flat tire. This was years ago, over 20 years ago. And I was thinking, how? It's funny now, but I remember thinking, how? Get a dead battery? There's no way. I got favor with God. I went to church. These things should not happen to me. But that religious mindset that was in my heart and that was taught to me thought that I should be exempt from the tribulation that's in the world. And that's just physically. Think about the world that's in the heart. Because that's what we're really talking about, right? In Ecclesiastes 3:11, it tells us that. That microphone's put up. Let's go to it really quick. It says, "He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he has set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end." That is so awesome right there. The world that he put in our heart. And I say this testimony pretty often because it has such a huge impact on me when it happened. When one of the elders asked me one day, he said, "Do you ever pay attention to your thoughts?" And I was thinking, I'm with myself all day. Of course I do. But I didn't say that, but I was thinking it. And he said, you know what? I want you to pay attention to your thoughts and then get back with me whenever you get a chance. I was, okay. Yeah, easy peasy, lemon squeezy. And I had begun to do it actually that night because he said tomorrow when you have time, just pay attention to your thoughts. And I thought it was kind of odd statement. And I started that evening when I got home, and it freaked me out because I didn't realize how uncontrolled my thoughts were. I didn't realize how thoughts just ran in and out of my mind. And I was just thinking it was just a day. You know what I mean? You just think, well, I got a lot of thoughts. And it scared me. It scared me. And I went to the elder as soon as I could. Because he told me, he said, when you do this, don't do anything. Because he knew that I would have went straight to the Bible and tried to fix myself. Straight Adam move, cover myself up with aprons with the word. And I went to him. And that was the beginning of a beautiful process of knowing and understanding that we need Jesus to calm down this world that's in our heart, how we think. Because how we think is not right a whole lot of times. And when we come to that place to know that it's within me, and the only way that I could get help is to go to the Prince of Peace, to go to the one that can actually help me. Because tribulation in the world, but be of good cheer, he has overcome the world. So he's already done the work, hadn't he? But we just have to come to a point to where he's done that work in us. So the continuing in the word that we were talking about is very important because God wants it all. He wants it all. So to hear the word of God that's being spoken to us and to let it go within us and to let it be sown in us and to begin to change our heart, to begin to change the world that's within us, change the mindset, is so awesome. And that's just all by the love of God. You know, John 6, where it talks about, no, that's not John 6, was it? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whomsoever believe in him shall have everlasting life. That's the love of God that's been sent to us. That is love that he says, I am going to send my word to them and deliver them from that tribulation that's in them. I'm going to send my Son to them and to deliver them and to raise them up and to put a believer in their heart and to begin to change their entire existence. That's love right there. God knows exactly where each and every one of us are. And sometimes we try to clean ourselves up before we come to God, instead of coming to God as we are, knowing that he knows what state we're in. And his love comes to us, and his mercy and grace comes to us and deliver us from out of that darkness, deliver us from out of that no understanding, and brings us into understanding and brings us into light. That is so awesome that he would do that for us. And it's nothing that we have done for this to happen. It's all because he first loved us. That he said, it is time to deliver my people out of that bondage. It's time for them to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. It is time for them to be free in the spirit. It is time for us to be delivered. It is time for us to be changed. It is time for us to be made new. Every day, every opportunity that we could take to hear the word of God. It talks about, I think we talked about it on Wednesday, where the scripture talks about hardening not your heart. Can you get that stuff? Right on. So it says today when we hear his voice, to not harden our hearts, to allow the word of God to go into our heart, and to allow that seed, which is the word of God, to go into us and take root so it can grow up. We have to allow it. Because is it possible that unbelief in the word of God that we hear can harden our heart so that when the word of God is sown, it doesn't allow it to go in. It doesn't allow it to take root. And so, like the four grounds, it doesn't take root, and it something happens to it. You know, and wayside ground, when the word is sown, an enemy comes and steals it away. You know, so is it possible that sometimes we could hear the word of God being sown, and then in our mind we say, well, I don't believe it like that. I think it's like this. So had an enemy changed it, taken that word away? It has. And so if you would like to go to Matthew and look at those, but I want to kind of get to something here. Does anybody have anything before we continue? All right, cool. In John chapter 17, starting at verse 9, we'll do a little bit of reading here. And this is Jesus praying for the disciples that was with him. It says, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And I like to look at us as Jesus is talking about us too, because he is. We are his. We belong to God. We belong to Jesus. And all mine are yours, and all yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee. Holy Father, keep them through thine own name, whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou hast given me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. So none of it took the Lord by surprise. This was all prophecy. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in them. Isn't that so cool? So even though all of these things are going on in the world, Jesus is saying that they still will have my joy in them, that they will not get caught up in the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Anything else that the spirit of the world is trying to draw them into, I pray not. I pray that they stay in the word that the Father has given me for them, and that they have joy. And not a fake joy, but a real joy that Jesus Christ is in us and we're in him. Because religion could fake joy real easy. I'm so happy to be here. Hey, brother, sister, love you. And none of it be real. None of it be real. But what about when God changes our heart? That's real, man. That's real. And now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in them. I have given them thy word, and the world hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. So if you ever wonder why things are going crazy sometimes, you're not of the world. We are not of the world. Jesus was not of the world, neither are we. And if we're in him and he's in us, then we're just like him. So we to have that understanding will put that joy in us that we won't panic and go, why is everything going crazy right now? How come this person's against me? How come this thought is coming against me? Because we're not of the world. We are not of the world. I pray not that thou should take them out of the world, but that thou should keep them from the evil. That they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through truth. Thy word is truth. That is so awesome. He said, I don't pray that you take them out of the world. I pray that you keep them from the evil. I pray that they have an understanding so that they won't get caught up in everything else that's going on, that they're not deceived, that they can walk around and be the people of God, like you were talking about in the opening, being called of God. That the scripture says we are a peculiar people. We're not like everybody else. We won't be like everybody else. So we won't try to conform to the world. We won't try to conform to the world, even though that may have been a time where we tried to conform to the world, where we felt like we didn't belong, so let me do these things in order to fit in to belong to the world. Now we know, as the children of God, I don't supposed to be partaking of that stuff. I don't supposed to be over here. I don't supposed to be speaking evil of people and backbiting. I don't supposed to be gossiping and spreading rumors about people. God is making me new. He's prayed for me from the very beginning for me to have the mind of Christ, not the mind of the world, and not the spirit of the world. So if you ever feel yourself trying to fit in and forcing yourself to belong to the world, don't do it. You're peculiar people. We were called to be that. So, man, find peace that's in Jesus Christ. In the finding, we just believe the word that is being given to us, and we'll receive that peace. And I'll leave with this. In Matthew 11, I think verse 28, 29. This was so cool, too, because, man, great peace is in this right here. If you could just meditate on it. It says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So only peace is in Jesus. The only rest we'll ever really have is in him. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And he means that. He means that. So we find ourselves caught up in the tribulation and everything that's taking place. Remember, Jesus said, come unto me. Come to me. Come and learn about me. Because when we learn about Jesus, we'll forget what manner of man we were walking in. And we'll begin to remember who we are in him. We'll begin to see ourselves even as different. You know, when God begins to change our heart, and change our mind, it'll bring a love to the heart that you just begin to forgive yourself where you couldn't forgive yourself before, and you begin to love yourself. And I think that is so cool, just to have that turn, just to have love for you. Because it's hard to love other people when you don't love yourself. But when you love yourself, it's easy to begin to give love to other people. And it's not fake, it's real. It's real, because that love has been given to you, so you can give it to others. Amen.